of this evening. But, from Brother Ali, memories. I've completely forgotten all about it, actually. Lindsay Glegg with a great Keswick preacher. If you ever get to England in July, go to Keswick if you can. It's an experience that you'll never forget. Now, I guess because I'm getting old, well, I should say a different word from getting, but I couldn't help but go back down through the years, down through memory lane, to our first meeting. The old building was here then. Never forget it. And this could be, I know you won't mind my saying this, this could be our very last meeting together. We hope not, but it could be. Some of you know why. So I would value your prayers, my dear wife. We've had 57 wonderful years together. And although I have the same potential as any man here, and she has the same potential because we have the old nature, both of us, I can say as a testimony to God that by the grace of God, we've been enabled to remain 100% true to each other. And this is a little word to the young people. If you're praying for a partner, ask God to give you the right man or the right woman, and stick together. And if the Lord doesn't come, you look back over the years and thank God for the wonderful memories that you have. Now, I didn't intend saying that really, but because I thought of the first visit, and this is either possible, just possible, possibly the last visit, I thought I'd say that to you. So thank you for your prayers. Please continue praying for us as we go on later on next week to the current. Now, I have a verse for you, and I'm going to leave this verse with you tonight. I trust with all my heart that the Holy Spirit of God is going to bring this inspired word from the Bible to some dear heart here in this service. Even before our beloved brother Tom speaks during the crusade, and of course we're not sure, because of the things that are happening today and all the evidences we have in the Word of God, there's a distinct possibility, and I'm almost tempted to use the word probability, that you may not even have a crusade here. This is why it's important that someone here who is not a Christian, perhaps tonight, before the crusade therefore, will open his or her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this verse is one of the most important questions in the whole of the Bible. We haven't time tonight to go through and talk about some of those wonderful and important and meaningful questions. You'll probably think of some of them, some of the questions in the book of Job. If a man dies, shall he live again? Just to mention one or two of them. How can a man be justified with God? Can God bring a clean thing out of an unclean? So many questions there in the book of Job. And every one of those questions, by the way, that I've mentioned, and there are others of them, every one is answered in the New Testament. But I bring you tonight one of the most important questions, and it's not the most important question, because if the Lord doesn't come, we're hoping to deal with the greatest question in all the universe next Sunday evening. The greatest question. Now, this question is the greatest question any young person, any old person, any human being living here on planet Earth can ask himself or herself. But first of all, come with me in imagination. There's a very important man living in Jerusalem. And he's having breakfast with his wife. He does not know that this is going to be the most important day in all his experience. Indeed, his wife doesn't know that this is going to be a day of crisis. Indeed, that crises, more than one crisis, a tremendous crisis for her husband, and certainly a tremendous crisis for herself. A day of days. She doesn't know, he doesn't know, that this day has been looked forward to down through the centuries. Indeed, I think it's true to say that this day was planned before the world began. Because the Bible says, and you know exactly the day that I'm referring to, dear friends, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before time commenced, this day was planned. This is the day, says the psalmist in Psalm 118, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The day of time. So Pontius Pilate is having his breakfast with his wife, and he's looking forward to sitting in judgment, as he's often done. And he's heard about this man Jesus, he's heard strange things about him undoubtedly. His wife, in all probability, has been told by some of her friends and neighbors about this strange man. There is no indication that either she or her husband had ever met him before. This day she was going to meet him in her dreams. And he was going to meet him physically. And the moment came. So Pontius Pilate is looking now into a strange face. And he's looking into eyes. What was it that we heard tonight? Eyes so filled with love, I can't remember the exact words, but love that had never been known before. And Pilate was looking into these eyes, the eyes of a man, M-A-N, man. He does not know that he's looking into the face of his Creator. He doesn't know that he's looking in the face of the God of the universes. He doesn't realize that people are going to write about him, probably within his lifetime, Pilate's lifetime, and they're going to say, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, all things were made by him. And he's looking at him. And that very same person who would write those words would also say, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And there he is, Pilate, sitting on the seat of judgment, and he doesn't know who this person is. He doesn't know that this very same person one day had looked into the faces of the Jews, the ones who should have known who he was. These leaders of Israel who knew there at least, put the word knew in inverted commas. They thought they knew. They knew the letter of the word, and that was about all. They should have known who he was. Oh, we know, said Nicodemus, that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. They knew that, and yet they still crucified him. And the Lord Jesus looked into the faces, and Pilate didn't know this. Probably he hadn't heard anything about this. He didn't know anything about this strange man who claimed to be God, and who'd looked into the face of the leaders of the people of Israel, and he said, if you believe not that I am, the word he is not in the original, of course you know that, dear friends. In your authorized Bible, it's there in italics, which means it's not in the original scripture. So the Lord Jesus is saying, if you believe not that I am, the title that he, I believe it was the Lord himself, gave to Moses, chapter 3 of Exodus, if you don't believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Verse 24 of chapter 8 of John. And then in verse 28 he said, when I, the Son of Man, am lifted up, then you will know that I am. In other words, you're going to realize when you crucify me and you lift me up on a cross, then you're going to begin to realize, some of you, that I am indeed God. And then in verse 58, you may remember, and Pilate didn't know a thing about this. He said, before Abram was, I am. Now there he is looking into these eyes filled with love. I hadn't thought of this until I heard those words from our soloist. Because you see, my dear friends, this is God. He's looking at God who is love. And he's nonetheless God because he's perfect man. Bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, clothed in the robes of our humanity, but still God manifests in the flesh, God with us. Emmanuel, Matthew says. So Pilate is strangely moved. The Creator, face to face with the creature. The earthly judge, face to face with the one who is going to sit upon the throne of judgment, on a white throne, a great white throne, and Pilate does know that he, Pilate, will face him either at the judgment seat for the Christian, the judgment seat of Christ, or the great white throne. The judge is going to be judged by this man. And as he looks into the depths of those eyes of the man who is God, and God is love, and those eyes are looking at him, filled with love, filled with compassion, Pilate is disturbed. How could he not be? Suddenly there's a message from his wife. She's had a strange dream that day. Well, I think really, although she says it was a dream during the day, I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. It was a sort of a nightmare during the day. It really was. And we're not told what it was. Some of us, of course, know some of the traditional stories. And the one that I like best, and almost certainly if some preacher, including myself, has mentioned it sometime here from this pulpit, the one that I like best is Pilate's wife seeing her husband sitting upon that seat of judgment, looking into the very eyes of this strange man, and she looks at him, and he's looking back at her husband. There's a strange dignity about this man. He's different from all the criminals that had appeared before her husband. There were no protests. There were no words of blasphemy. There was nothing but love exuding from that face and eyes of a man who was gone. And now she sees in there something in her dream. You'll remember the dream, of course. I'm sure you will. You've heard it a number of times, but it's worth repeating. There are some of the young people here who may not have heard it. Suddenly, the dream changes. And in her dream this time, her husband is standing before the man. And the man is sitting on a seat of judgment. And as she looks at the man, she sees his eyes are as eyes of flame. There's something wonderful, something supernatural. She knows that this man sitting on the throne of judgment is at least a super being. Maybe a God. Maybe God himself. And as she looks away and looks at her husband, she sees him quite different from the first part of the dream. There he is, trembling from head to foot, with fear filling his eyes, and she knows that he, her husband, is standing in the place of judgment, and the man is sitting on that seat of judgment. And she woke, and she scribbled that note. Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Many things Pilate didn't know. One of the greatest things that would be said about him later on, if Pilate lived, if he became a Christian, one tradition has it that he committed suicide. Another tradition says that he became a Christian, but we shan't know until we get to heaven. But what he didn't know was that so many wonderful things were said about this man, into whose eyes he was looking, and one of the tremendous statements said by the Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Colossae some years later, was, in him, this man, in him, dwelleth, in him, dwelleth, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So Pilate is face to face with his God. He's face to face with his Creator. He's face to face with his Savior, and he's face to face with the Jewish Messiah, and he doesn't know. so utterly confused because of the note from his wife, because he is strangely disturbed as he looks into the face of the man who was God. And as he listens to that voice, it's a human voice, but he doesn't know it's the voice of God, therefore it's the divine word speaking to him. Every single word that left the lips of the Lord Jesus down through those 33 years, my dear friend, every single word, because he was God, every single word was the word of God, the voice of God. In a human language, yes, 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 but he was still God. And every word was the voice of God. And every word that came out of the lips of that man, capital M, that man, as he faced his judge that day, Pilate, every word was a word inspired, a word from God himself to the heart of Pontius Pilate. So, among other things, after going out, of course, and washing his hands before the multitude, he says, and this is the verse, this is the question. And this is the question perhaps that some dear heart is going to ask tonight. And this question comes ringing down through the years. It's come to the hearts and mind of countless millions of people, probably some in this congregation this evening. I had the joy years ago of leading several members of one family to the Lord in Shirley Heights, preaching on this very text. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Christ? The greatest crisis in all his experience. And he's known some crises. He's known a number of crises down through the years at Pontius Pilate, especially living here among these strange people, the Jewish people. How rebellious. How foolish they were in many, many ways. How utterly ridiculous in their views, he thought, as a Roman. Because he believed in many, many gods, of course, as a Roman citizen. What shall I do with Jesus? This was the question. This suggested the greatest crisis. This suggested that he, as you know it, and you may not know it tonight, dear young person here, he did not know that the answer to this question was going to decide his eternal destiny. And I want to say lovingly to you tonight, dear young person, I can't imagine that there's any older person born and brought up in Spanish Veld. Oh, how often we preachers said it. I'm sure I'm not the only one who has said this down through the years. How anyone could be born and brought up in Spanish Wells where the gospel is preached. Month by month, year by year. How anyone can go into a lost eternity. I believe it's possible. Maybe it's happened. But I can't understand it, humanly speaking. And it may be there's some dear one here tonight, perhaps a younger person, and you haven't faced up to this question. It was the last night of 1995 when I was preaching at the Watch Night Service of Central Gospel Chapel in Nassau. And the Holy Spirit was there. We depend on the Holy Spirit. The flesh profited nothing. The preacher can't do it. And we preachers know this. If any work's to be done in the spiritual sphere, then the Holy Spirit of God must do it. He only can do it. We can't save a soul. But there was a sense of the presence of God in that service. And after the meeting, there was a team, a basketball team from Miami or somewhere in Florida. That night in the service, four of those young men stayed after, and I had the joy of leading them to Christ, and two young teenagers from the Sunday school. You see, they faced up to the question as they faced 1996. And here we are, well into the new year. Is there someone who has faced this question before, as Pilate did, and you've done nothing about it? Deep down in your heart, you know that your eternal destiny depends on your answer. Not that you've been brought up in Spanish Wells, not that your parents are Christians, not that you come to the Gospel Chapel, not that you go to the People's Church or the Methodist Church or the Little Church, the Truth. No, 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 no! What have you done? What have you done? What are you doing with Jesus? That's the question that you have to answer before you go into eternity. Pontius Pilate die. And if tonight he's waiting the judgment of the great white throne out there in space somewhere, Pontius Pilate may be crying now, what have I done with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Why, he'd written it over the cross. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And the Jews came to him and said, don't write that. We want you to change it. What I have written, I have written. In other words, he couldn't alter it. Under the sovereign will of God, he had to write what God wanted him to write. And God recognized him. And Pilate wrote it. He was the King of the Jews. He was the Savior of the world, dying for you and me. Dying for your sin, dying for mine. Dying for Pilate, dying for the sin of every single person who stood there at the cross that day. Pilate out there, somewhere, crying as a lost soul, awaiting the judgment, still with the memory that in front of him on that day of judgment, that day of days, that most important day in all human history, until the resurrection, memory flooding back. Memory's coming. The memory of that face, that voice, that personality, that one who spoke with love to him. And he knew that somehow that very person didn't hate him. And deep down in his heart, Pilate knew that he was looking into the face of an innocent being. We hope that he did receive the Lord Jesus, because you'll see him again, the Lord, you'll see him again on a throne of judgment, but it will be the judgment seat of Christ, not the great white throne. I wonder sometimes, I think of the Spanish Wells and you dear folk here, often we preachers, you know this, we talk about Spanish Wells. And we say, and I say, I wonder how many people from Spanish Wells are going to find themselves in the lost eternity. And they know that they should have received Jesus. God recognized him by putting that inscription through Pilate over the cross. God recognized him. The Jews didn't. They rejected him. Some refused him. Some rebelled against him. But the dying thief received. What are you going to do to me? Just the first and last verses of 273, please, if you can. 273. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. And if there's anyone here tonight who's not a Christian, stay behind and give us the joy. Give me the joy of leading you to the Savior before you go home and put your head upon the pillow. 279, arise to sing, then remain standing as we ask God to bless you before we go. First and last, 273. Try to make it on Tuesday evening if you can. We're talking on a very important subject. It's a command from the Epistle to the Ephesians, be ye being filled with the Spirit. Paul is saying it, the Holy Spirit is saying it through him, and a very simple but challenging message to my heart, maybe to yours. First and last verses, 273. Oh, I thought you said 273, Don. That's right, that's the one, apparently not, yes. I quoted it wrong, yes. Sorry about that. Yes, it is 273. 283. Oh, 280. Oh, well, blame Brother Don for that. No, it's my fault. I should have double-checked it. 280. We'd rise to sing.